Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. What an honor it is to be here with all of you, and what a delight to have Bells Gloria back. Isn't that awesome? And notice our orchestra is back. Our choir is going to be. This is the greatest Sunday, and I am so glad that you guys are all here to be here a part of it with us. And if you're joining us online, welcome. We are so glad to have you here as well. Friends, I would like to let you know that this Wednesday, September the 1st, we start our Windows classes again. Wednesday night activities are happening from 6 to 7 on Wednesday, and we invite you all. We have children's programming, preschool choir, and kids choir, and Bible drills, and we have youth hangout and adult classes, so you all are welcome to join us on Wednesday night, September the 1st, if you are free. We'd love to have you here. Also, I'd like to say thank you. This is our last Sunday to collect for the Baptist Student Ministries International students. You guys have done an amazing job of filling those buckets out there by the office. So thank you so much for bringing in those items. We'll be giving them to them this week. And I know that you guys have helped start out some new college students on the right track. So thank you for being part of that. And now, I am so excited to introduce to you our newest members, my friends, and now your friends too, the Reed family. If you guys will stand and say hello, we have Peter and Trisha and Will and Grace, and Maggie is away at school. We are so glad. You guys have probably seen them here. They've been visiting for a while, and now they've made it official, and we are so honored to have you guys as part of our church family. So welcome. Well, I know that you are excited to be here today, as I am. Let's take a moment and prepare ourselves for worship. The Lord be with you. And I invite you, as you are able, to stand with me for the call to worship today. O God, from whom every gift originates, you are an awesome God. You are beyond any word we could ever use to describe you. Enlarge our vision this hour with your word. Your peace where hatred threatens. Your love overwhelming our apathy. And may your Holy Spirit surround and indwell us, your people, now and forevermore.
Would y'all please pray with me? Dear God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the ability to be here and to worship you and to feel your spirit in this place. God, prepare our hearts for worship, not just today, but every day, God. Remind us that worship doesn't stop when we leave this place, but it continues throughout the week with every person we encounter and with every person that we get to love on, God. Remind us that we get to show your love each and every day. It is in your name we pray. Amen.
Boys and girls who want to come down and join me for children's time, the stage is yours. Come on down, friends. Hi, Sadie. Good morning. Come on down. Hey, good morning. Well, thank you guys for coming to Children's Time today. I am so happy to see your faces. Glad that you're here. I hope you've had a really great week, a whole full week of school. Hope it's been going great. You guys doing okay? Still surviving? Yeah? All right.
No.
No, you're already done. Check it out. You've had your done. You've had your year. Just a few more to go, Anderson. You can do it. Okay, I have a question for you guys. All of you have tablets and or phones or computers, things that you're on. Are you ever on those tablets or phones or computers?
Yes.
Yeah, do you get time during the day you get to use them?
Yes.
Yeah? Well, you know, I have one too, but I was thinking about something I really want to do. I really, really, really want to make this cake. It's called a rainbow explosion cake. Have you guys ever had one of these?
No.
Does it not look divine with the candy that's coming out the middle and the stripes and the candy on the outside? Is it not fantastic? Yes? Okay, so if I wanted to make this cake, do you think I just know how to do it?
No.
No, I don't. I'm not that good of a baker. I can make a one-layer cake pretty okay, but this is multiple layers. So tell me, you people with tablets and computers and phones, where could I go?
YouTube.
Oh, you got it. High five, Alexa. Thank you. We could go. I could go. Have you guys ever been to YouTube?
Yes.
Yes, I know. Right? What do you do on YouTube? Why do you go to YouTube?
To watch videos.
To watch videos. Okay. Do you just watch?
No.
Does it teach you anything?
No.
You learn nothing, Max, from YouTube?
No.
Yeah, I have seen you guys. You guys have learned amazing things. Someone says, I have to replace something in my house. Oh, YouTube it. Or I have to fix this thing called the laminator here at church. I can YouTube it. I want to make this rainbow explosion cake, and I found this awesome YouTube video. I'm not going to play it for you today, but now that you guys know about it, you can go home and check it out so you can make this in your own kitchen, right? This awesome cake.
Even though you're trying to find it and you don't know what it's called, you have to try and remember what it's called if you've seen it before.
Okay, you have to try. So you try and remember rainbow explosion so you can make that with your parents. You got plenty of time today, okay? Okay, so let me ask you, if I decided that I found the YouTube video on how to make this cake, and I just saw the link and I said, okay, good, it's there, click it off, I'm going to go ahead and make the cake. Am I ready to make the cake?
No.
Well, you mean, but I think I can figure it out. I don't have to watch the steps to figure, I think I can figure it out. I've seen the picture now.
You have to watch it.
I still have to watch it. Well, I was thinking about this. Do you guys know that you have your own how-to manual? In your houses?
No.
You have the best how-to manual in your homes. And I bet sometimes you forget about it. It even can show up on your phone and on your tablet and on your computers. It's called the Bible. And here's this thing. In the Bible, it tells us how to. It tells us how to live. It tells us how to love. It tells us how to treat other people. It tells us how to ask for forgiveness when we've done something wrong. It tells us how to be as great as we are. But if we have this awesome thing called the Bible, the most awesome how-to manual ever made, and we don't read it, or we read it and we ignore it, are we doing what God wants us to do?
No.
Oh, we're not even taking it for, we have to take it, right? And do what it says. So if the Bible says, you must be kind to everyone, and you say, I want to be kind to her, but I don't want to be kind to him today. Are you following what the Bible says? Sorry, Parker, I'm always going to be kind to you, right? So this is the thing. You watch YouTube for how-to and all kinds of information. Your Bible is greater than your YouTube will ever be, right? So make sure when we learn these lessons at children's time from Pastor Jake in your Sunday school classes and from Miss Donna, when you learn these things, you take them and you apply them in your everyday life. And you guys teach us all the time how to do this.
Things on YouTube aren't real.
That's true. Don't believe everything you see on YouTube. Thank you for that final bit to this lesson, Anderson. That was one for me. I appreciate that. All right, so you guys get it? Yes? What is your Bible? It is your greatest YouTube manual ever. Yes? All right, let's pray. God, I thank you so much for YouTube. I thank you for these kids and for their imaginations. And I thank you for the Bible for teaching us how to do everything. God, we love you so much. I love all of these children. Thank you for bringing them to us and showing us their faces and showing us their love. In your most holy name, we pray. Amen. All right, if we're going to preschool praise, we'll head this way. Otherwise, you can sit with your folks. Come on, Sadie, let's go. Let's go.
The psalm reading comes from Psalm 15. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their hearts, who do not slander with their tongues and do no evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oath even to their hurt, who do not lend money at interest and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
so grateful for your love. We are so grateful for your grace and for your patience. God, teach us how to do this. God, teach us how to love. Teach us how to be with everybody. Teach us how to be better than we are. God, we thank you so much for this time we have to worship together and for this church. Help us to go beyond these walls and share the love of Second Baptist Church with our neighbors and with our community. Be with our friends who are not here today, and be with those who are watching online, Lord. Help them to know that they are loved and they are appreciated from this congregation. Thank you so much for everything that you do for us. In your most holy name we pray. Amen.
Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but, letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear.
Those who hear and do not act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like.
If, on the other hand, one who carefully looks into the revealed counsel of God,
the free life,
even out of the corner of the eye and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or a woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in their action.
Anyone who sets themselves up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air and only hot air.
Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God, is this: care for those who no one else cares for, and don't allow yourself to be corrupted by a godless world. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Pastor Cheryl, and church, your presence, your voice, your song, you are a gift, and you are a primary way that we know that Christ is real, Christ is risen, Christ is here. As you may have read in some of our materials, these next 5 weeks in our lectionary, our schedule of scripture, we will be journeying through the five chapters of James. And those of you particularly who may not have a practice of reading scripture, I invite you over the next 5 weeks to maybe read one passage, one chapter of scripture a week. And on my Bible, it starts on page 1118. The online versions may be a little easier to find. And maybe you have a Bible with pictures in it. And this is one of the great tensions, at least in my spiritual journey, and I think maybe even one of the great tensions in our faith. So much of my faith foundation was read more scripture. And so I did. I read a lot. And at least in my practice, most nights it was, if not an empty rote practice, I at least had very little retention or understanding to that which I was reading. This path sort of eventually led me to a Bible college and a seminary in which now not only would I read in English and not understand, but now I would read in Greek and Hebrew and not understand. And so my sort of spiritual path was more content. And primarily for the purpose of being prepared for a debate, right? So the spiritual content was an adventure in preparing to win and to master. And despite the emptiness of my cranium, and despite my egotistical endeavor to master the scriptures, somehow in this process, I met the real master. I fell in love, as maybe many of you have, with the teachings, with the life, and with the person of Jesus. Yeah, this Jesus who called to love one another. This Jesus who called to welcome. This Jesus who, at the very moment in which the crowd was clamoring for more miracle or for more teaching in a world that loves more, at the very moment in which the crowd was begging for more, it was often that these moments that the Savior would slip out for solitude, for silence, and for Sabbath. And this person and this way and this flow, it welcomed me and it captivated me. And for much of the spiritual tradition that at least I grew up in, Scripture was God-like. And we do well to remember that Scripture is not God. However, Scripture is a primary path in which we might put ourselves in the way of the Spirit. If you have not touched your Bible for years, brothers and sisters and friends, I hope you hear from me. And I hope you hear from this community, as I think you will, it's okay. It's okay to put it away for a time. It's okay for it to collect dust from New Mexico on the shelf for a time. It's okay. Maybe you've been in that how-to manual and it's failed you, right? Because it can be difficult to translate and to apply the how-to in a modern world. And it's okay for you to put it away. Here's one thing that happens around here is some of you who do bring your Bibles to church, some of you leave them. And so we spend a considerable amount of energy throughout any given week trying to track down the owner of said Bible, right? And if you're a real Christian, you've got your name embossed on the front. Yeah. And if you're a real Christian, you have notes from the sermon that you've taken. And they're right there on page 1118. The note reads something like, "Man, that Cheryl has great jokes during the children's sermon. Man, that Pastor Scott, wow, he's handsome. That sermon is boring." And here's what happens. I return your Bible on Monday and on Tuesday, and you don't even know it's been missing for 6 months. And if that's you, it's okay. It's okay. And there are others of you in our congregation whom we just admire, and you've never set it down. And the pages crinkle with joy, and the margins are full with ink. And as an inclusive community, right, we are all learning. We're all on this journey with Scripture together. I was reminded this week of a verse that has meant much to me. I imagine it might mean much to you. In John 10, chapter 10, Jesus says, "I have come so that you would memorize all of the Scripture verses." I have come that you would be the smartest person in the room anytime there is a debate regarding anything spiritual. No, absolutely not. Even the one whom we call the Word says, "I have come so that you will have life." The way of salvation, the way of justice, the way of grace is a path towards not more knowledge, not more Scripture, is a path towards life. It is my interpretation that what we call the letter or the book of James is largely silent on matters of theology proper. It seems as though James, who in Greek, his name is actually Jacob, doesn't he sound handsome? Maybe this is the brother of Jesus. Yeah. And James is largely silent on more philosophical matters. And the central point of James is concerned with how we live. Yeah, how we live. Yeah, so one reductionist summer. You know, last week we spoke of Under Armour. Isn't it great when the football team is undefeated? How much longer will the football team remain undefeated? Spurs are atop the table three fixtures in, so I know you neither care nor understand anything as to that which I have just said, but go Spurs. James, not an Under Armour man. Maybe one reductionistic, simplistic summary of all of the material we find in James is Nike. Just do it. Right, and this is maybe the great theological assertion of the book of James is just do it. And if it's all the spiritual material we had, that we read this week in 1:22, be doers of the word. Let's make sure you understand how to spell doers, not D-E-W-E-R-S, D-O-E-R-S, be doers of the word. James is a Nike man, just do it, yeah, yeah. And maybe you're not in a Nike season of life. Maybe we're all about the brands these last 2 weeks. Maybe you are an Adidas sort of person right now. Do you know what Adidas stands for? All day I dream about soccer. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's what Adidas stands for. All day I dream. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you're not in, and one of the great spiritual truths is don't just stand there, do something. This is what James says. Don't just stand there, do something. And one of the great spiritual truths, brothers and sisters and friends, one of the greatest of all spiritual truths is don't do anything, just stand there. And maybe you're in an Adidas season of life in which to dream, to be still, to be patient. You're not reading more. You're not doing more. Don't do anything. Just stand there. And this is why the Scriptures are so good. This is why the Scriptures are as alive today as they ever have been. Both of these statements, completely contrary to one another, are so true and so good. And maybe one of these, just do it. Maybe one of these, just dream. Will speak to you. In the next few weeks, I will not be able to convey all the wisdom that we find in the book of James. And those of you who have been trained in giving sermons, there's a few of you here. In my training, they told us, don't tell the people what you can't do. They said, don't begin the sermon by telling people this is not a very good sermon. They already know it's a bad sermon, right? Right? Yeah, but sermonizers, they will let you down. I will let you down. I have let you down, right? Generally speaking, this is a hard teaching. Generally speaking, all that we've done here today, all that we will do in this thing we call worship, all that you may or may not hear in this message or sermon or collection of words, it's not meant for you to like or enjoy. It's not. None of the songs are for you to like or enjoy. None of the stories are for you to like. We live in a world that is driven by entertainment. That I would be entertained so that I would buy something. That's not the setup that we have in this space. No, this is a sacred space. This is a space not intended for entertainment, not intended for enjoyment. This is a space that's intended for enrichment, enlargement, edification. We're not interested in entertaining your mind or your eyes, right? We gather for worship that your souls might be encouraged. Yeah. So for the last few paragraphs, during a worship service, you've heard comments about worship. For the last few paragraphs, you've heard comments in a sermon about sermons. Now, the book of James, we might interpret sort of with the simplicity of Nike, just do it. And also, as all scripture often is, it goes deeper than that. Sermons about sermons and worship services about worship services. A long, long time ago, I can still remember how the music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance. And maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride. Something touched me deep inside the day the music died. Man, it's good to be in Lubbock, Texas, you know? That song isn't as good read in Virginia. Can a brother get an amen, you know? Yeah. American Pie is music. About music. Now, in the early Renaissance, those of you who know a good bit more about fine art than I do, Da Vinci, Rembrandt, other masters of the trade began practicing what we might call the self-portrait, right? The self-portrait is where the master artist either paints one's self or includes oneself as primary subject in their artistry. We were able to curate for you a Van Gogh for this week. As you can tell, Vincent, who is a deep person of Christian faith, we also know he's a real Christian because he's got an Apple phone. And we pray for those of you who are Android. This picture, we could spend a month on this picture, right? What is it? I digress. Hollywood, of course, loves few things more than a movie about Hollywood, right? We're an inclusive community, so I'll try to give a few examples. Maybe you're a Get Shorty fan. And maybe you are a Saving Mr. Banks fan. Any Tropic Thunder enthusiasts in the house? I think maybe the best example I'm familiar with was in 2011 when the Academy awarded Best Picture to a silent film known as The Artist. Have you seen this movie? It's a fabulous movie. And actually, this movie is a retelling of the 1952 film Singing in the Rain. When the movies began to talk. You see, Hollywood loves movies about movies. Let me belabor the point, which I enjoy to do so much. Have you ever been in a meeting and you're looking around and you're listening and you're realizing you're in a meeting that's about another meeting? If you can't say amen to that, you don't live. Yeah, you're like, this is a meeting about the meeting we just had, isn't it? Yeah, or this is a meeting about an upcoming meeting. Meetings about meetings. The physicist Alan Watts says, we are the universe experiencing itself. Meta. Meta is what we are describing. Now, one theory regarding what we call James, Some might call it a general epistle. You see, unlike what we call the Pauline letters, which have occasion, which have a recipient, which have a body, and which have a salutation, we don't really encounter said aspects here for what we call James. Now, many scholars think it is a collection of material. A collection of material of some type. Now, one prominent concept is that James is simply a collection of sermons given to that early church, maybe in Jerusalem, maybe in that more Hebrew-Jewish area of Israel. So we have a collection of sermons. So in the next few weeks, you'll hear sermons about a collection of sermons. To compound it just a little bit more, one of the central points in all of our scriptures, and certainly one of the central points in what we call James, is that scripture is important. Scripture is important, as we've already discussed, for the spiritual life. Scripture is important for life. So scripture is about scripture. At one level, just do it. And another level, it goes a little bit deeper. One of my spiritual influences says it this way. There is a lot of water in the water. Yeah. And the first time I heard this sentence, the technical response is, that's spiritual mumbo jumbo. Okay. Wooey, right? There's a lot of water in the water. Hang with me. A massive part of life is about how do you want to live. A massive part of friendship is not about the other person. It's about what type of friend do I want to be. Friendship about friendship. You see, a massive part of parenting is discerning all the information that you have been given and then discerning what sort of parents are we going to be. We've decided to be the cool parents, by the way. And if you self-declare yourself as a cool parent, you're automatically not a cool parent. Can a brother get an amen? Often we experience stress or anxiety. And in our stress and our anxiety, we are stressed because of our stress and anxiety, right? When you're not sleeping well, it's hard to sleep well. When you're grieving or not, we sometimes grieve our grief or lack thereof. Meta. When cash is short, you've been there. It is when cash is tight that your transmission goes out or your water heater breaks at home. Hot water heater is one of my favorite things to say, hot water heater. Anyways, it's not Murphy's Law, it's meta. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of water in the water, meaning life compounds upon itself, right? And just do it. Just do it works. Some seasons for us, just do it, works for us in that time and space of life in which you're reading the scripture and it's speaking to you and you feel as though the how-to manual and the words of scripture are alive to you and apply. And yet also, when the waves are this high, it seems to make a lot of sense that there's a lot of water in the water. And I'd like to just leave you with one final example. Be doers of the word. Yeah. Doer is an interesting word. This is a noun. This is a verb that lives here in verb form. This word is six times in our New Testament, four times in the short letter that we call James. This verb form is connected to the word, and we spoke about this word before, poema, which is a word often used in the New Testament. Ephesians 2:10, this incredible scripture says, we are God's poema. We are God's workmanship. We are God's craftsmanship. Maybe even the translation I might say, we are God's presentation of creative power, poema. And it sounds a whole lot like, and I know we've talked about this before, but I've read the notes you leave in your Bibles when you leave your Bibles here. So I know what connected and what didn't. You're like, that part didn't connect. So I was like, I'll come back to it next week. Yeah. Maybe some of the other more literal translations of Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's poetry, poema. It's very similar to the word we get here in James 1:22. In fact, in Acts, when this word is used, the noun form is used to translate it. And it says, so we could translate James 1:22 this way. Be poets of God's word. Be poets of God's word. Now, our scripture begins telling all that is and all that was and all that ever will be. Our scriptures begin with a poem. Genesis 1 is a Hebrew poem. Be poets of God's word. I think, I take all this to mean that in the very beginning, when God created all that there was and all that there is, Genesis sort of begins with this description that the waters are raging, that there is chaos over the watery mass, and God hovers over this mass and speaks peace, speaks order, speaks such into the chaos. Yeah, and so I think we can read this to think, when the chaos of our lives, when the chaos of a world riddled with another war after another war, anxiety after anxiety, difficulty after difficulty. Scripture says, be poets of the scriptures. You, my brothers and sisters, you can be encouraged that you were part of that original poetry written into the fabric. The whole thing was written as you, part of the poetry, to give life to the world. Yeah. We read in our New Testament that Jesus walks upon the waters raging. And Jesus walks upon the waters raging, and there Peter, who has begun to fall into the water, Jesus reaches out his hand and takes Peter. There's a lot of water in the water. And as the waters rage, as wave after wave and set after set hits you, brothers and sisters and friends, receive the hand of Christ reaching out to you. Take, be poets of the scripture that you might live and have life to the full. Did you write the book of love? Do you have faith in God above if the Bible tells you so? Now, do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? Can you learn to dance real slow? Amen. If we can be of help to you now or at your convenience, we would be honored to do so. I invite you to stand as we continue to worship and respond to the Spirit of God together.
Oh, You'd bow your heads and join me in our offertory prayer, please. Heavenly Father, gym class has started as we look at your teachings in the book of James, and we have some work to do, Lord. We are reminded that we need to become better and much more engaged listeners. Help us to take cues from you. You are the quintessential listener. There's no one quicker to listen than you. We never have to snap our fingers to get your attention. We never have to reel you back into focus. We never catch you looking away as though you're bored with us. We never have to repeat ourselves several times to make sure you heard what we really said. You never interrupt us, spin what we are saying, talk over us, and there's no one who listens as attentively, respectfully, and compassionately as you. Indeed, Lord, you want our ears that you might have our hearts. Help us give our spouse, our children, our friends, and strangers the gift of being heard. Help us to be known for our good listening skills more so than for our frequent speaking. And as we extend our tithes and offerings today, may we be quick to listen, slow to speak. May we be hearers of the word and just do it as poets of your word. We ask this in your name. Amen. Thank you.
Yes, fun. May the word of God be a lamp unto your path. May the peace of Christ be with you. And if you drive a Chevy, take it to the levee.